we been?
Season 6!
That's right. We want to have a quick disclaimer on this season. If you're used to our season 1 podcast.
Yeah, there, even season 5.
Yeah.
Fun summer movies. This
fun,
is not
happy,
that.
Happy, light. No, we're doing scary movies. And so
spooky
with that
season
comes, we talk about murders and
witches.
Witches and other adult-themed
things. Adult-themed?
Not like that.
Wow.
Well, you'll have to listen and find out. All right, anyway, maybe don't listen with your kids this time.
Put the kids to bed.
All right, here we go.
I hate pain.
That's exactly what I need right now.
This is
what
great.
What happened, Johnny?
Oh, God. This is...
my creation.
Colleen, have you noticed that these screens, they have, like, edge. They're not as nice as the ones that Ryan and I used to get.
Wow.
No, mine's nice.
Yeah,
mine looks good.
Nice.
Testing like 1, 2.
Kit, we do a nice rolling start where we just kind of chat, and then all
chat.
Of a sudden Ryan's going to be like, welcome to the movie bin. So that's just, be ready
Why
for
did
that.
Why do you tell
oh,
her that?
Great. That's I'm just never heard this episode. I know.
Wait, she says
she
the
listened,
episode
she,
like we've had on the podcast.
And this has been,
this is,
thus far, our friends have
episodes.
Let us down quite a bit.
It has been, we have not emotionally prepared ourselves for the pain we were going to feel knowing that our friends don't listen
also,
to the things we make.
Kit's driven to Florida a lot. And I felt like had ample
no,
time
I fly to, Florida.
This
and Jack always makes me watch a movie with him.
Raggy.
And it's like, I don't even
super
have...
Super raggy.
Look at
my kids very rich.
Or I use my
I'm very
catamaran.
Affluent.
Oh, Colleen, it's one of your rich friends.
I know. This is my rich friend, Kit.
Hey, Kit. So glad to be here with all my money.
she can't introduce herself that way.
But Kit did listen to our Mamma Mia episode, which I actually texted Ryan about this week. I was re-listening to it. And Ryan is a hot mess on that thing.
You
he
are.
Said,
I sound drunk.
You asked if Greece was a language.
I remember. I listened to it
the
morning.
And then you said, one of the parts that made me laugh the hardest is just the way that you said,
Devil Wears Prada. Listen.
And Mary very articulately calling out that it sounded like you were underwater when you said that was just such like an accurate way of describing how you sounded.
Yeah. Mary, I feel like, was very good at just like telling you how you were failing.
Yeah, she was
kind of,
she was
episode.
Pretty harsh with you.
Very specific with her critiques, which is fine, which is totally fine.
But it really cuts deep.
It does cut deep, and I'm trying to enunciate my words and not talk over it.
Anyway, welcome to the movie.
Oh,
like
that should be pretty good. My name is Ryan.
And I'm Colleen.
And I'm Kit.
She
Kit,
has
welcome.
Done the best so far of like kind of the intros. Like she kind of gets
well,
it.
Well, that is true.
I told you I could really turn it on.
She just hit her mic. She did good as she was saying that.
Don't touch anything.
Yeah, Kit, don't.
Yeah, Alex gets really upset when you touch his stuff.
Yeah. So, huh?
Alex, I'm so glad you're here with
us.
Alex, thank you for being here. Alex, we love you so
Alex
much.
Alex is here.
Alex, you're the best audio engineer. Kit, what are your overall thoughts on Halloween? We've been asking our guest hosts.
This is
love...
season 6, episode 3. Colleen, in case people are just jumping in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Go on.
Tell them what we're doing.
Oh, we're doing a spooky season.
Yeah.
Spooky.
I feel like people who just jump in, they're like, I want to listen to the most recent episode.
That is
they
true.
Are not going to be prepared. So
they're confused.
I feel like you have to give a good like disclaimer in front of each
you're
episode.
You're right.
Yeah, well, everyone's going to want to listen to my
that's
episode.
That's right. 100%
though.
True.
I like your approach. That is the kind of confidence we're looking for going into
yes.
this.
Yes. And actually, today's isn't the spookiest, but this is probably one of our more family-friendly, I would say,
family-friendly for the 80s. I've learned that family movies in the 80s, now that my kids are a little bit older, they're not even older yet. They're like second grade and kindergarten. I'm like, oh,
right.
I could probably start showing them some of my favorite movies.
Like the Goonies. Don't.
Sandlot even. You're like, don't, please don't repeat most of the things these kids say. Like,
yeah, that's
can't,
true.
You can't even watch this.
That's a good point.
So I feel like the movie that we're watching now, I feel like we have conditioned ourselves. Maybe we just were allowed to watch more things when this came out.
That's
but
possible.
I don't know if like
yeah.
I would let my second grader watch
No,
this
probably not. So family friendly is probably not right, but it's not our scariest by far.
No, that'll happen next week.
Yes, that's true.
I hope. I mean, I haven't seen that one either.
Okay, but
here we
Kit,
go.
Overall yes. thoughts on Halloween spooky movies. Do you like them? Do you hate them?
So I'm one of those people where if I watch a scary movie, I will see it in real life, like for the rest of like the week. So like for example, after I watched The Conjuring, I laid in my bed and like I was like, the nun is here.
Yeah.
She's in my room.
I get that.
She is with me.
I have not seen that movie, and even you describing it in that sense makes me, I will never
terrified.
Watch that movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I like the thrill. I like feeling intense emotion, but I very much hate the aftermath. So, I like Halloween because I get to dress up in costumes and I get to eat candy. I'm really doing the things that I want to do every day, but just like on a specific day of the year.
Dress up in costumes and eat candy. That's the only thing I like about Halloween as well.
Yeah, they're
is
great.
Those things. As Enneagram 7s, Colleen and I love a good costume party and true. Also eating candy.
That's so. Correct.
Exactly. I fit right in. Yeah. I will say in high school, I loved when we watched scary movies because then, like, everyone got a blanket and then you got to, like, have an excuse to, like, be cuddling with your crush. So scary movies are really great for
There's
that,
There's some alignment
too.
Here. Colleen,
that is true.
Because Mary mentioned that, too, and when we watched Independence Day in our summer season back in 2020, right. That was a plug.
For you guys remember for the older episodes.
Yeah. Go back and listen to those. You know, Kit.
Will do. Homework assigned.
So, but she mentioned the same thing about how she had watched Independence Day, but didn't really remember any of it because she was too busy trying to remember where her hands were.
Oh,
and trying to.
Well, she I feel said like we that. Maybe this is maybe slander on Mary. I don't think she was.
She was trying to hold hands with a boy.
Yeah, but when you said you're trying to remember where your hands are, that could go
where
a
it's
lot.
Like, there's a lot of.
Colleen,
like,
you talked about a woman's fat face at the beginning of the episode last week.
No, first of all, it's not true.
There's a picture of Drew Barrymore and a very large woman's face on the cover of this book. And
okay, that is still not the same kind of inappropriate that you're speaking of right now.
So, yes, you would cuddle and...
Yeah, exactly. So it's like scary movies provide the, like, intimate and yet fearful space that you need to then, like, make moves on your crush.
Because
so
relationships are scary.
Yeah, because relationships are spooky.
Today we're just going to be talking about relationships. Yeah,
and I am prepared for that.
This is great. Kit's getting married soon, by
the
way.
That is true.
To a British man. So this is one of your rich friends, Colleen.
Yeah, rich friends.
Yeah, we've established she's my rich friend. Yeah.
We said that
she flies to Florida and she's marrying a British man.
I actually paid Colleen and Ryan to be here today.
Yes, yeah.
A lot
of money.
That's how rich I am.
Which is nice. I appreciate you wearing an ascot too to the recording. If you're not familiar with an ascot, it's a fancy neckerchief that you tuck into your button-downs.
Similar to flight attendants.
And sailing jackets. Yes. You look great. Very fashionable.
I dress to the nine.
What do you think of people from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania? Because I know what I think about them.
Oh my gosh, why?
I honestly just immediately imagine people in Bible clothes.
Gosh.
But, like, trapped in time. Honestly, a great setting for a horror movie.
That is true.
Wow.
And that is exactly how Bethlehem, Pennsylvania is.
Yeah,
it's
not so.
Yeah,
it
exactly
is like
right.
Historic Williamsburg, except for the Bible.
Yes, that's
accurate. Like, you don't dress up like colonials. You dress up as Hebrews.
Do you have a nativity scene, at, like, all year round?
You joke about that, but we actually do at our public library. The Bethlehem Public Library, home to the year-round nativity scene.
just leaning into it. Yeah. I appreciate that.
It's funny that was a joke and that was actually true. Okay, but anyway.
That's a little close to home.
What we're going to be watching today is Ghostbusters,
Ghostbusters.
Kit.
I'm so excited.
Kit, have you ever seen a Ghostbuster?
I have never seen one in real life or on the silver screen.
Hey, wow. Second question, who you going to call?
Ma Rooney. Do you guys remember that commercial?
I don't even know what you just said.
You don't remember that commercial?
Ma Rooney?
Maybe it's just a Florida commercial. There is a car dealership in, like, South Florida that, like, their jingle was, who you gonna call? Ma Rooney!
Right, that is, thing, Kit,
do you remember
I hate
that?
To, I hate to burst your bubble. I think
Lord.
Ma Rooney might have stolen that from our friends the Ghostbusters.
I thought so. I wait to
who you gonna call?
Ma Rooney!
Thanks to our sponsor, Ma Rooney.
Yes.
Jaguar. I'm assuming Jaguar, something fancy.
I don't know. For some reason, I thought it was, like,
Ma
Hondas.
Rooney, Lamborghini.
Hondas.
Toyota.
Lamborghini, Honda. It's a dual dealership.
Yes,
so.
The best of both worlds.
We're going to be watching Ghostbusters, the original.
There's
been a few Ghostbusters movies and a cartoon, which was my introduction to the Ghostbusters, was the cartoon.
So vintage.
And the subsequent Ecto Cooler High Siege fruit drink.
Ooh,
yes.
Remember that? With Slimer on the front of
it? We need to be drinking.
Should we get
Ghostbusters
theme
probably
snacks?
Not. Probably very expired.
eBay. We're going to find some Ecto Coolers as we watch Ghostbusters. But if you had to assume, based on your knowledge of the Ma Rooney jingle and the word Ghostbusters, what is this movie
Wait,
about?
Real quick. Have you seen the new one with all the women?
No,
you,
I
you've
haven't seen
none
that.
Of them?
No.
Okay,
that
great.
One was pretty good.
I like that
we'll
one.
We'll talk
that
about
great.
It later, but
yeah.
I enjoyed it, too.
I haven't seen either of them. I vividly remember when the second Ghostbusters came out, I took a very feminist stance without seeing any of the movie or the previous movie, and just being like, the only reason why people are mad about this remake is because they... No one thinks that women are funny.
Ooh.
I hadn't even seen the movie, and I was full-fledged just
you got a hot,
ready to go.
A hot take, ready to roll with it.
Yeah, so I'm excited to now watch the first movie and maybe hopefully have some information or knowledge about
it's
any of the movies.
It's a great movie.
So you can take a stronger
it's
stand.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah. I think it's about, I know it's about, like, sucking ghosts into vacuum cleaners.
Okay.
I'm glad you finished that sentence because of the way... kind of lingered on. This is a family podcast.
Right. Yeah. Just like how Ghostbusters is a family film.
That's correct.
Yeah. So family for the 80s. That's kind of what this podcast is.
Okay. Would you like to see the movie poster?
Is that
and then
help her at all?
No, probably not.
It's
but
the
I'm
logo.
Still.
Ask I know her that... if this is the logo for the car dealership, though, while we're here. Is this the Maruni logo?
It is. There's an
Are
actual
you kidding
car.
Me?
So, yeah, it's kind of like.
This is great.
I know that they're killing ghosts. Maybe Bill Murray's in it. I don't really know who else is in it.
Okay.
I'm glad you know Bill Murray's in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
okay,
I'm
let
a
me
fan
show you one other
culture.
Picture. Who do you think? I'm showing her. Wait, what's this
Can
guy's
I
name?
Get an up close look?
What's the marshmallow dude's name?
Marshmallow Man.
That's. The Michelin
Mr.
Man.
Michelin.
No, that's not the Michelin Man.
All right, so we
this is a car
looks
crossover
like we got
episode.
These people. Oh, that guy who plays the mean neighbor in Christmas with the Cranks.
Okay, it's
that's
very
not.
Specific.
I really wish Dan Aykroyd was here to hear
that
him
is,
say.
That
hear you say that. Oh, I recognize Dan Aykroyd, one of the great comedians of our lifetime as the
mean neighbor
from
Christmas
with the Cranks.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, it's valid.
How happy would he be to hear that?
Thrilled beyond
that
belief.
Was the peak of his career.
Obviously.
So.
Oh, boy.
I don't really recognize this person in cartoon form, but their cartoon variation of them does look familiar.
His name is Egon.
Is,
in the movie.
In the movie. I was going to say an movie. Actor named Egon.
No, but he recently passed away, the guy who played Egon.
Our condolences.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Rest in.
Okay, so they're
Power.
Sucking ghosts into vacuums. but like,
did you say sucking ghosts into vacuums? Is that
I said that. I repeated Kit's synopsis.
That seems like the big
but
overarching.
Like, who's
theme.
Asking them to do this? Are they vigilantes?
That
Are they?
Is what I have Ooh. No idea. In
okay.
my mind,
do they work for a branch of the government.
In
they
my
have
mind,
a, like
is
a
kind
like a
of...
pesticide business.
Ooh,
but they get rid of ghosts for you. Like what?
I kind of thought of it as like. They, you know, the people who like go and find Bigfoot.
Okay.
So it's like people.
Conspiracy theorists.
Yeah, like a conspiracy theorist who don't know there actually are ghosts, but they just like prepare for it.
So
and
they
then,
found
and
the
then
ghosts.
They end up actually having ghosts.
Okay.
And then like maybe ghosts are then released on a grand scale. And
but
then,
they're ready.
And these hooligans are the only ones who are
when
able to
When you say
to
hooligans,
save them.
Are you talking about the ghosts or are you talking about the Ghostbusters?
The Ghostbusters, I imagine, are like a misfit gang of like people who live with their mom.
Oh, okay. Our apologies to people who live with their mother.
People above the age of appropriately living with your mom.
Wow.
That's fair.
You're really kind of turning it on them a little bit. This is a movie about the ghosts, and you're judging how they've chosen to live their lives.
Oh, I'm not judging the ghosts. I'm judging the Ghostbusters.
No, I hear you say that. Yeah.
Yes. If you're living with any parents because of your COVID situation, we do we do apologize, and that
understand.
Is acceptable.
We are empathetic.
Yes, we are empathetic.
I'm
well,
not.
Okay, I was going to say, Kit is
stances. Get a job and move out.
Get a job and move out. And the Ghostbuster female comedians are hilarious.
Yes, they are.
So there
Never
we go.
Seen it.
Never seen
Lord.
It. We're not watching that one. We're watching the original, and we can't wait to watch it. We're going to pour some tall glasses of Ecto Cooler and watch a movie that a guy you might know is the neighbor from Christmas with the Cranks.
Who you gonna call?
Maruni!
Alright.
Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
We're back!
That was great.
I didn't realize that was the intro, but I'm here now.
Wow. Should we? I don't know. Do we start?
We're not going to do it. And one, and a one, and a one, two. We'll just leave all this in. Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters!
Okay. Well,
oh, boy.
Here we are. We are back. We just finished. It's a cultural phenomenon.
That's, well, some have said.
Yeah. Some have said.
There is.
Feels more like a cult classic.
It is a cult classic.
We can have that debate. Well, we just finished Ghostbusters, and it holds up.
It does hold up. I forgot a lot.
Okay.
We have a hot take already.
Holds up?
Oh my
god. I can't tell if you're going to go more than holds up.
I hope you were going to say something kind.
That was trash.
Is this what Mary
I was just
going
to
like?
Say this whole movie kind of felt like a Me Too movement waiting to happen.
Oh my god.
I don't know if we're ready for this podcast.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Waiting to happen.
Here's the thing. The first scene, Bill Murray's character is like hitting on his student and asking her to come back later at 8 p.m. And then you think, oh, maybe he just likes a flirt out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, because then when his friend comes in interrupting, he's like, you interrupted something. I was in the middle of something, giving us an innuendo that he was going
to
get
something
fooling around.
Wow.
With
to
his
get
student
to fooling around.
Okay. Well, I don't disagree.
So, yeah, the I don't thing know if about that
the '80s was. She wouldn't have liked many of those.
No, I think.
Have you ever seen Weekend at Bernie's?
Ooh.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, maybe you hold off if this is.
We like to give a pass to the '80s on this because the whole show will be talking about the, just the
cultural faux pas.
Yes,
that's a great way to say it.
Yeah.
Cultural faux pas.
And we are not. Have you seen Caddyshack?
No.
Okay, so
I've seen the Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and that felt very similar.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would stay away from most movies in the 80s, then, if I were you.
Here's the thing. It's not that I'm offended, but would I say the phrase, it holds up? No.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. Okay, we're not ready for your review just yet, because we have a lot to talk about before we get into this.
Colleen, would you like the honors of recapping the movie? Usually you do a...
Pretty horrible.
I don't know if horrible is the word.
No, it is definitely horrible, but let's give this a shot.
We usually just have some notes at the end, but go ahead.
You definitely have notes.
All right.
Okay.
Do you remember their names?
Oof.
Egon?
Yep. When was the last time you watched this?
Bill Murray. I watched this last night.
Yeah,
maybe before
checking.
That, I'm horrendous with names in any show
All
I
right.
watch.
Can I give you their names?
Yeah,
and you
please.
Can go from there.
Well,
so.
It's not really important. Just I was going to say three guys. Okay. I was going to keep it generic.
There's four guys.
First, there's three guys.
For a long time.
That's
yes.
True.
So,
and then
Peter,
they were like,
am I doing the summary?
Peter, Ray, and Egon.
I don't care. There are three guys that all work at a university. They get fired. They start a business to get rid of ghosts, and it's kind of just like a side hustle. And then
really takes off.
It really takes off.
The timing was perfect.
Impeccable.
I mean,
impeccable.
Who knew that there was going to be a ghoulish takeover?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right when they're just getting this new business off the ground. That is the right place, right time.
That's right.
Yeah.
They go to help one Sigourney Weaver on a call. And she has a portal to another universe in her fridge.
Very convenient.
Very convenient.
Start with the eggs. Which was strange.
It was strange.
Shaken eggs.
The,
never got
the
back
bouncing
to that.
Eggs.
No, they didn't.
Nope. No. Yeah. No one. That was never explained. Mm-hmm. But long story short, some guys try to stop them and end up releasing ghosts all throughout the city, and then they become heroes because they're the only ones that can get rid of the ghosts everywhere
with
and
their proton
shut
packs.
Down the portal to the ghost world and there
another
are,
world. We're not sure where that portal was, mm-mm. but it's where Zula was from.
Yep.
And
Ancient
Greek demon dogs,
underworld.
There's
there
a
are,
green slime man. There is a giant marshmallow ghost. He's not really a ghost.
It's the final form of the destroyer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gozer.
So
Gozer.
That is my 1 minute recap.
That was great.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Honestly.
That was excellent.
They did add a fourth Ghostbuster, which I
Winston.
Winston.
I really thought it was Ernie.
No.
Ernie felt really right for his name.
I think Ernie might be his real
name. His actual name?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Why don't you look that up?
I'm going to look that up. Go
10
ahead.
Points to Kit, if that's correct.
Wow, thank you.
We will be giving points out during this episode.
He looks like an Ernie.
Ernie Hudson.
Wow.
Let's go.
You have a way of piercing the soul.
I'm probably psychic.
And realizing, like, you don't look like a Winston.
You look like an Ernie.
His mother named him Wright.
The right name.
She did a good job.
Well, can I give a little background?
Yes, you man.
Or
please.
Yes, you man.
Yes, you man.
Yes, you man.
Yes,
please.
You man.
I'd like to say it again. Yes, you may. Man.
Words are fun.
That's fine.
And they're very easy for all of us.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, this is a 1984, some would say cult classic. Others would say...
Me Too movement intro pack.
Yeah. So, but Ivan Reitman was the director of this movie.
Oh, Ivan.
Originally, it was written by your friend, the angry neighbor from Christmas with the Cranks. Dan Aykroyd actually came up with the idea of Ghostbusters.
I did notice that because I sat through the credits, obviously.
Oh, and you saw his name written by Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
You figured out who he was by that point.
Yes, I was very familiar. He was one of my favorite characters in the whole movie.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And so it was. It came out in 1984. They made it in just over a year.
Okay, Kit, how old do you think Dan Aykroyd was in this movie?
Let me give that a think. I think.
See if you're good with as good with ages as you are with names.
Yes, I think he was around the ripe age of 37.
30. Dan Aykroyd was 30. Bill Murray was 32 years old. They look like they
had
how old are
rough
you?
Cocaine fueled up to that point.
He was 6 years older than you in that movie.
He looks like
he'd
be your
father. Does that make any sense to you?
No. The '80s did them poor.
I don't think skincare was a big deal.
No,
definitely not.
Bill Murray, We talked about this, and I thought you were talking about Bill Murray when we were talking about it.
I wouldn't have guessed Bill Murray's age correctly either.
Bill Murray was only 32 years old, which is shocking. He looks like he could be somewhere between 30 and 56 in this
movie. I don't know if he had, no offense, but just like really, really bad acne scars from his teen days.
It's possible.
Or just horrible skin from smoking. Mm. I think it might be a combination.
Well, they were all part, a lot of these guys are part of the Second City comedy troupe from Chicago.
Lots of drugs.
I'm familiar. So,
and then SNL in the 70s. Which,
right.
That just ages
cocaine.
You.
Yeah.
Cocaine. Speaking of drugs, this movie was actually, it was written by Dan Aykroyd.
Yes.
But he intended it to be with his friend.
John Belushi. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Did he like die in the making of this movie?
Well, he didn't make it to the movie. They were still writing the movie, and John Belushi died of an overdose.
Oh.
You know who John Belushi is? Blues Brothers?
Yes, yes,
familiar?
Yes.
And then he was writing it for John Belushi and Eddie Murphy. For the three of them to be the Ghostbusters.
I feel like that would have been really fun.
I think it would have been great.
But then Eddie Murphy had to go work on...
Shrek.
Pluto Nash.
Not Shrek. That was a cop movie. What was it?
Beverly Hills Cop.
That's correct. Thank you so much, Ryan.
I'm here for you.
I had half of that right.
Yeah, you had the word cop right.
Something cop.
Something cop.
Something
Los
with
Angeles
police.
Cop?
Was it Los
something
Angeles Cop?
Something like that.
You know, Kit did say Shrek, though.
So Shrek.
Had to go
work felt like
on
the same time frame.
Shrek. Another famous comedian that was almost in this movie was John Candy. He was going to be Rick Moranis. Moranis is.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh.
Little
yep.
Giants.
Dad.
Yeah. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. I got that one.
Okay, yep. So John Candy was going to be him originally.
Was going to be which character?
Lewis.
Which character?
The Keymaster.
The Keymaster.
Yeah.
That would be very different. Very different sized people there.
Well, he wanted to take like a very German approach to it and have dogs and a big German accent.
Oh.
And Ivan Reitman was not into that idea.
It's a lot of dogs for this movie. If
there's
that was
a lot of dogs. A lot of dogs. So the pitch to Columbia Pictures.
Right. I'm interested to know this actually.
Because I was like, we were watching it last night and Ashley was there and we were all watching it. And I was like, hey, where does the idea of the Ghostbusters come from? Because it feels like a very random,
random
concept.
Yes.
Of like, hey, how about this comedy with all these very famous comedians where we have some very like weird ghosts and spiritual stuff. And you're like,
very bizarre
right
plot
now?
Line.
Someone who's possessed.
Yeah. Well, Dan Aykroyd wrote all this because he has a fascination with spirituality and the afterlife and ghosts.
Interesting.
And his dad actually wrote like a definitive guide on ghosts.
So he was very much in the know.
He was very into all this stuff.
Yeah.
And his great-grandfather was...
a ghost.
Practically. He did seances for travelers in his farmhouse.
Oh, my gosh.
And so it's been part of his bloodline. And he's like, I should write a comedy about ghosts because there was, like, some old ghost movies, like with Abbott and Costello and different people. And he's like, this would be really funny if I wrote this movie. But the one that he wrote was actually... When they estimated how much it was going to cost with his original script, because it was in the future and in space, it was going to cost over $300 million to make in the 80s.
And they said no.
Has any movie, this is what I'd love to know, has any movie cost that much?
I think probably like the Avengers movie cost like $200 million or something like that.
I'm gonna look it up. Continue
it
on.
Up. You look it up. So they had to rework the script, obviously, to be more modern day and not set in space, but in New York City.
Close enough.
Basically. And so, but they took the script to Ivan Reitman, who was the director guy. And he's like, we can change this and it's be a little more like palatable for people and we can afford it. And so Ivan Reitman had just got done working on like Animal House and Stripes. And
I watched Animal House.
There you go. So he worked on these movies and he had like a lot of trust with the
Fits
studio.
Fits the rapey vibe.
Anyway, you're not wrong. And so he took the five-word pitch for the movie was ghost janitors in New York, and they signed off on it without a script. They just said, we'll give you $30 million for this movie.
Wow.
And they took it. So they had $30 million to make the movie. They had 1 year to deliver the movie. And
wow.
So they started
That's
working.
An intense timeline.
The only people who could do special effects, though, at that time was Industrial Light and Magic. They did all the Star Wars movies.
Of course.
And they couldn't afford to do them because they were working with George Lucas on Indiana Jones. And so they basically like had to pull people away from Industrial Light and Magic and start their own like special effects studio just for this movie.
Interesting.
And so they started doing
that. Is it still a thing now?
This is wild. I'm about to deep dive on expensive movies. I'm sorry. Keep going. Keep going.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't know if it's still a thing now, actually. I didn't look that part up. But They basically had to start it, and they had a year to make the movie, and they barely made it in time to release in June. That was like the only deal was like, you can make this movie, we'll give you all the money for it, you just have it done by next summer so we can release it.
Wouldn't they want to release it in October, like near Halloween?
You would think.
They didn't. But
they said June, scary movie.
June 8th, released it in 1984, and here we are, and that's what we have now. So
I didn't not like the movie.
Yeah.
I did enjoy it. Now that I'm thinking about it, I did enjoy it.
Okay, that's good. Back.
There were just red flags.
Of course, there are. I'm glad you noticed those.
It's like when you go on a first date and you're like, overall, I enjoyed this, but I have some concerns.
Glenn, you're doing a deep dive on expensive
movies.
Yeah,
I don't want to get too. We'll just hit this. I know this is a rabbit trail here, but so Ryan, you were right. The Avengers movies did cost. Avengers Infinity War was $316 million.
Okay.
And then just Endgame was $350 million. Wow. But they both grossed billions, so it doesn't even matter.
That's crazy.
Chump change.
But the most expensive movie ever made.
Avatar.
No. Oh. I don't think you guys are going to get this.
Titanic.
I would not have guessed this. No, but there are ships involved.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Waterworld.
Yes. Pirates of the Caribbean. $376.5 million to make that movie.
Because they have to build
it's the
ships
most expensive
and then blow
movie
them up.
That was ever made.
How much did it make?
It made $1 billion. This is the first
Good
one.
Grief.
They all the Pirates movies are in this top like 20 list. But that's pretty insane. But it is very funny to think of Ghostbusters being in that same category of like a $300 million movie when you look at
Pirates of the Caribbean and Avengers.
And they were making this without any sort. There was no franchise. I mean, looking back now, you're like, oh, the Ghostbusters. And I was telling Colleen this yesterday. I think the Ghostbusters theme song, I'd love to know your thoughts on this, kid.
Yes.
Is maybe the most iconic movie song of all time.
The most of all
time.
Would
you say that Jaws challenges that?
But I think... Even if you've never seen Ghostbusters, you know the song Ghostbusters.
Well, I would say that with Jaws, too.
Rooney. I second that. Yeah. Even when I didn't know it was Ghostbusters, I knew the song.
You don't agree with that anymore, Colleen?
You were on the same page yesterday. No, I wasn't. I would say one of, but I don't know if I would give it the most crown.
The most iconic?
Yeah.
It's one of the most well-known. I would give it top three.
Yeah.
Well, tell me something more well-known than
Jaws.
The Ghostbusters song.
Jaws.
Even if you've never seen Ghostbusters, you know the Ghostbusters song.
That is,
yes. Because it says Ghostbusters.
I mean, it's kind of just like straight in there.
I got to think. I say Jaws is one of them.
I think Jaws is high up
people
there.
People heard it, though. You think they would immediately recognize
Titanic,
it as Jaws?
The dun-dun.
Is pretty.
Dun-dun.
My Heart Will Go On. It's in the credits. Dun-dun. It's not even in the dun-dun. Movie.
Yeah, that's
I'm just telling you, if you play that song for people, they're going to know where it's from.
Titanic?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the song was written by Ray Parker.
Love that guy.
Couldn't tell you anything else Ray Parker did.
I don't know who Ray Parker is.
But he made a living off this Ghostbusters theme song.
Were the royalties from this? From that Maroney thing alone.
Yeah, that thing was on for years.
My gosh.
So there you go. There's some background.
I love the background.
For you.
Also, if you want more information on this, there is it's on Netflix's
The movies we loved. I don't know if we got
the
that
movies
name, right?
That the movies
made
that made us.
Movies that made us.
Yes. If you wanna fact check anything or
we ask that you don't fact check our podcast, Colleen. We are professionals. No reason to Google anything we say.
Yeah.
Just take it as
face value.
Face value.
Yes.
It is true.
That's correct. Okay. Ryan is gonna have way more trivia knowledge than I do because he did a lot more homework on this than I did.
Slacker.
But one of the do you know about Sigourney Weaver's audition?
Ooh.
Tell me.
So apparently there's a bunch of people that auditioned and she was like off the wall crazy in her audition where she was like walking on all fours, barking like a dog. It was supposed to be for like the possession scene. I guess they did a script read for that.
Yeah.
And they said she was so ridiculous that the director was like, yes,
Ivan.
Absolutely. Ivan was like, I mean,
Ivan Reitman.
Yeah.
He probably thought if she's willing to walk on all fours like a dog,
right.
She's willing to have a sexy exorcism scene.
She did. It was a sexy exorcism
she
scene.
She did writhe around quite a bit.
The
in that.
Sexiest possession I've ever seen.
I mean, she's right.
Are you the keymaster?
What? is that an innuendo?
Well, no. She has Bill Murray.
Oh,
that.
It's definitely an innuendo. It definitely is an innuendo.
I think.
She's the gatekeeper. He's the keymaster.
Yeah.
That obviously is an innuendo.
When you say, okay.
So the way keys.
Okay.
Keys,
the way the key works with a gate is you.
We just. Please cut. Please cut.
Anyway, did you know, Colleen, that there were some other people considered. This is one of my favorite parts of movie research for
other
our
people
podcast.
Who almost
other people
were cast.
Who were almost in this movie.
Yes.
I only know that Jeff Goldblum almost got cast for Egon.
That's true.
Who is Jeff Goldblum again?
This is why.
No, I know the name, just the face is I need
I'm not
need
sure
faces.
What you recognize him from. Maybe a Hotels.com commercial, but he was in Jurassic Park.
Oh, I know that one. I know. Yes. Yeah. Sounds over. I've watched his show. His show on Netflix where he talks about all the random things.
I've never seen that show.
Oh, you gotta watch it. It's good.
Okay, that's great.
I actually do really like him.
Okay.
Who is he supposed to be?
Egon.
That would have been too many big personalities with Bill Murray and Jeff Goldblum.
A few other people who were considered for Egon. Christopher Walken.
No, that would have been creepy.
Nope.
John Lithgow.
Don't know who that is.
He was the Trinity Killer from Dexter.
Don't know.
He was also in 30
yes.
Rock.
Yep,
Third Rock. Third Rock from the Sun.
I always got those confused, too. That was very confusing.
Very different. And then Christopher Lloyd, who was Doc Brown from Back to the Future,
I guess he would have been younger then. I was like, that's kind of an old choice. But not... He still would have been a good bit older, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think first Back to the Future came out in like 87, so it's only like 3 years older than this movie.
That's fair. So he would have been
I wonder
old.
If he would have done it in the same very eccentric,
scientist
has major
kind of way.
ADHD way.
Yeah.
Because I liked Egon, how
Egon
he was.
Was great. And he was Harold Ramis, who was one of the writers for Animal House, had worked with Ivan Reitman before on some other projects. And
That's
so
right.
they were like... He was actually just helping them rewrite it and then said he would also be in it. And they're like, oh, well, then, yeah. You
I heard he, like, insisted on being in it.
When you're able to just write yourself
that
into
he
a
was,
script.
He was like, I know this character better than anyone. I should play the role.
I appreciate that kind of level of confidence, though.
Yeah. I don't think I'd ever have that level of confidence.
About anything.
I will do this better than everyone.
Anyone.
I feel
Literally
like, Kit,
anyone.
You have that level of confidence.
I probably could.
You came in with some hot takes. So.
Yeah.
And then a few others considered. Before they got Bill Murray, which is who they wanted,
right.
but wasn't sure he was going to be able to do it, they considered Michael Keaton, which I don't think that would
Michael
work
Keaton's not that kind of funny.
No. But he was like a comedian, like a comedic actor before Batman, but I pretty much only remember him from Batman.
Batman.
That was like his the role that I
and
think
And Jack
of the
Frost.
Most. And then Chevy Chase.
It's a good movie. If you haven't seen it.
Was one of the other people considered for
I
that
like
role.
That
which would not have been... No. He actually would have played like the creeper part really
yeah,
well.
That
creeper
is true.
For sure.
It is very funny to think that Bill Murray is like the stud of the group. Like,
yeah.
he's the
it's
woman. He's the womanizer. And you're like, really?
Where's it really?
Was it?
Who's the other one? Colleen, go ahead and rank them on a hotness scale.
Honestly, I go Egon first.
Egon is the hottest. 100%.
Yeah, I agree.
Egon, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Egon... Winston,
yeah, oh,
Bill
yeah.
Murray, Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, wow.
No, that's see, I would switch Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd.
You think Dan Aykroyd's more attractive than Bill Murray in this movie?
Yeah, because he's like, his personality is much sweeter.
Oh, that
and
is funny.
Bill Murray is so funny
yeah.
in this movie.
But he's also just like
is
rude.
Is Jack funny?
Jack, my fiance?
Yes.
Very much funny.
Okay.
I think
she was
so.
Like,
I mean, I was just I wondering, so. I was like, are you drawn more towards, like, the heartfelt guys or,
no,
like, the funny guys?
I'm definitely drawn more to the funny guys, for sure. But Bill Murray also just has some very interesting facial expressions and mannerisms. Some aspects were very What About Bob.
Well, yes.
He's in that movie.
That is true.
Well,
so
yeah.
that makes sense.
They're both not super attractive guys. So
yeah.
you're kind of so then you're pretty much just working with personality at that point.
But also who aged better? I don't know. Dan aged into a mean man. And Bill Murray
you're
aged
only
into
thinking
a very
of him
old man.
As the mean neighbor from
but
Christmas
have you seen
with the Cranks.
Bill Murray's Christmas special? Because I kind of love that.
A Very Murray Christmas.
Oh, so good.
I feel like Dan Aykroyd's forehead just kept growing.
That's,
and Bill Murray
forehead growing, hair receding.
Maybe that's they're kind of the same thing.
I don't know. But yeah, that's my rankness of hotness of Ghostbusters. I stand by it.
Yeah.
I believe you. Did you know that when they were creating the roles, they kind of used like the Wizard of Oz theme of mouth, heart, and brains?
That makes sense.
So, like, Bill Murray was the mouth of the group, Dan Aykroyd was the heart, and Egon was the brains. And they were kind of like, that was, like, their lane to stay
And Winston
in.
Was Dorothy.
Of this,
Probably.
Of this podcast trio, who is who?
Well,
Ooh.
Colleen, who would be the mouth of the group?
I asked you the question.
I'd
and
like
so
to not
you
answer.
I had to answer who
to
was
answer
the hottest
now.
Ghostbusters in order. So you get to choose this.
I'm going to say that Kit is the mouth of the group.
Ooh,
I would
very
agree.
Nice.
I would agree.
Colleen, you are the heart of the group.
And you're the brain.
I'll be the brain.
Okay.
You
are,
I have a laptop out that I'm reading facts off of.
You are a nerd.
Okay.
You're presenting a lot.
I am nearsighted. I am not a nerd.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so
very much. What did you think of the Marshmallow Man? Kit, tell me your thoughts overall beyond Bill Murray's creepiness. Let's get into actually the movie
itself.
We'll look
past it. Here's my thoughts. I liked how I feel like they could have gone like, oh, all the ghosts get released into New York and we have to go on a mad dash. You know, like let's take out Zool mm-hmm. out of the equation. Mm-hmm. I actually, as weird as it was, I liked that Zool and Gozer were in it because it felt like there was a reason for all the ghosts.
Right.
I liked that we had that at the end. Was it extremely convenient for the extermination business?
Yes, it was.
But, you know, we've all had our lucky starts.
Yeah.
And this was theirs.
This was the 80s.
Yeah.
People were entrepreneurs.
It's the American dream, really.
I did think it was very funny, though, how the marshmallow, where they're like, don't think of anything. Don't think of anything.
And they thought
of that. And then that was Dan Aykroyd's.
It was convenient. I mean, like, he wasn't causing too much damage.
Right. It's like a giant marshmallow. Like, think of the, I would have thought of much worse things. Yeah. Imagine if you summoned Voldemort.
Yeah, that would be terrifying.
Did you know that the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man was one of the only things to actually stay from Dan Aykroyd's original Ghostbusters script?
Really?
He had that character as part of it. And his dream was to, like, it needs to be a mix between the Michelin Man and the Pillsbury Doughboy.
He did that very well.
And they nailed it.
At first, I thought it was the Pillsbury Doughboy coming through the city, but then it was the Marshmallow Man.
A little sailor hat.
Is Stay Puffed Marshmallows an actual brand?
It's not a real brand. They made it up, but he said it was based off of, like, a Canadian marshmallow brand.
Okay.
Is he Canadian?
He is Canadian.
Oh, okay.
So is Rick Moranis. A lot of Canadian influence here.
Yeah, a lot.
I think Ivan Reitman is also Canadian.
Wow.
You know?
Are they taking over the
80s? And Eugene Levy, which Ivan Reitman directed him in a movie.
Wow.
So there you go.
There's a lot of connections in Canada.
A lot of Canada.
I like the Marshmallow Man. I thought it was fun. I thought it kind of mixed up the fact that we had like a sexy goddess
got like there was different levels of scary ghosts where he was kind of like you kind of wanted to give him a hug.
Right.
Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man?
Yeah. He was a sweet ghost.
Yeah, honestly.
I mean, granted, he was, like, smashing cars and stuff.
But
yeah, he was like Godzilla, but
he looked super cute.
I liked when he was, like, happy, and then when they started shooting at him, he got really angry.
Oh, he was sad.
His eyes turned
out. That was funny.
Yeah.
I would say the only scary part of the movie was when our main girl...
Sigourney,
is that his name?
Sigourney. Yes.
Whenever she was in her apartment alone, I was like, something crazy is going to happen to her. They're doing the shots. They're doing the crazy thing.
The chair?
Yeah. But when... Zool was groping her in her chair.
I did say that to Ryan. When we were watching this, we're
all
watching
this movie. My wife was there for accountability.
But when whatever that thing in the chair was, I was like, the hand placement, not great.
It was like, I don't know what the other horror movie is, but where the hand comes up through the bathtub. And it's like crotch shot hand. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Nightmare on Elm Street?
I didn't see that one.
Friday the 13th?
Sure.
It's the one with the guy with the claws and the striped sweater. Kruger.
This is the best part of podcasts when people listen to us try to think what something's called.
And they're just yelling, and they know it, and then they quit listening.
God.
Like, these idiots, I'm done.
We're like, hand crotch shot, Friday the 13th.
That's the one.
All those things. But so when it was reaching up through the chair and then dragging her through, I was like, Again, this poor woman has been.
She's been through a lot.
Honestly,
Dana.
She's just living an incredible life in New York.
Yeah.
She's a successful cellist.
Yeah. Number one, I used to play the cello, so I kind of related to her.
She originally was a model
in the original script, and Sigourney Weaver wanted her to be a cellist.
I support that.
Sigourney.
Thank you for advocating for that. I knew I liked
her. We love Sigourney.
We do love Sigourney.
All right, Ryan, what other interesting facts do you have?
I did some research on this because if people don't know or even care at all, Colleen and I have graphic design backgrounds.
That is true.
And true story, Kit.
That's crazy.
We are graphic designers by trade. And I want to do some research on the Ghostbusters logo because
that thing's iconic.
That is iconic.
Correct. It seemed a little contemporary for the usual 80s like movie poster.
That is true. It was simple.
Simple.
But I also think that makes it timeless.
Yeah.
Did you know that the Ghostbusters name of the movie was originally called Ghost Smashers.
That's hilarious.
That's very
Would
funny.
Not have been as good. They wanted Ghostbusters all along, but there was
kind
of a kids TV show in the 70s owned by a different theater, or a different production company, that was holding onto the rights of it, and they wouldn't sell it to them until literally that, like, the film was already done, and they had just assumed, like, at some point we're going to be able to buy this name from these people.
Never assume.
Wow, they filmed the whole movie saying Ghostbusters.
Well, they filmed half of the movie saying Ghostbusters, and then reshot it again saying Ghost Smashers.
No.
And then they finally, when they were chanting Ghostbusters in the street,
right,
the guy held the mic, he went to a payphone and held the phone out and said, "Do you hear them yelling Ghostbusters? We have to have this name." He's like, "We're not reshooting this again." And so they didn't reshoot anything else. The guy said, "I'll get the name Ghostbusters." And by the very end, basically, like, the guy who used to work at Columbia went to go work for the other company and ended up selling it back to the company that he started working. Like, the guy who was trying to negotiate it to begin with lost his job.
Okay.
Big moving out. Coca-Cola bought Columbia Pictures, which I didn't know.
Whoa, that was a huge jump.
Big soda.
What?
Getting into the movie industry.
Big soda. Get out of here, Coke.
You're messing up the movie. And so they had, like, a falling out, and the guy went to go work for a different studio, which just happened to own that kids' TV show that he had started to negotiate the name with.
Just happened
a year ago.
Wow.
I don't know. Feels a little like Benedict Arnold.
Feels a little sus.
Yeah.
That's a word the kids say.
Correct. Good job.
Just checking. And so, anyway, Ghost Smashers was the movie name, but the Ghostbusters logo was designed just by one of the production guys who happened to have a background doing art direction for the Rolling Stones.
Very cool.
Which you can kind of see, like, I was going to say, honestly, there's a lot of...
Those logos are, like, pretty similar. And so he also worked for the Muppets and John Lennon, but he just made a logo.
Wow. What a resume.
He actually used, and if you look at it, it's like an inversed no symbol. So it's like going actually the other direction.
Oh. So is that like draw it. Go ghosts instead of no ghosts?
You know,
if it's inverse, like, if it's an inverse not.
It's like the ghosts are seeing it from the outer world.
Ooh, from the portal.
In, from the portal. Then it's saying no to them to come inside, but to us it's saying go ghosts, but go really ghosts. It's no ghosts.
Well, I think we just broke that down.
Wow.
Boom.
So there you go. That's where the logo came from, which I thought was pretty interesting.
That's very interesting.
That's just one of the production guys. But it just seems like you should go back and listen to our podcast, Kit. This is another just reminder to do that.
Yep.
Just write that down.
We did Caddyshack at the end of our last season.
Okay.
And we learned so much about how Bill Murray was just like the ultimate wild card. Like, he pretty much is the same guy.
Does he just improv the entire movie?
They didn't know if he was going to show up to
that
the set.
That sounds stressful.
He actually, they were like, "We're shooting at 8 o'clock. We hope he shows up. We haven't heard from him." And he was there. And he showed up, but they were just like, "We didn't know if..."
Did he have, like, an assistant or...
No, he actually didn't even sign a contract to be in the movie.
Oh.
Or even sign a contract about making money from the movie. He just said, "Yeah, I'll do this movie if you help me make this other movie." And that was kind of basically his verbal agreement.
What was the other movie?
Razor's Edge. Oh. It was like a remake. It bombed. And so he ended up getting paid some money after the fact because it was like he also had like a percentage share. But he did not agree to any terms as far as like, "Oh, yeah, you pay me however much, $2 million, I'll be in this movie." He just said, "Help me make this other one, and yeah, I'll do this."
Oh, that feels like
a handshake agreement.
Feels like he needs an agent.
Yeah, that's true.
He probably, you know, these are all good points. So that's kind of, there's a lot of stuff there. I did text our good friend, you might remember him from previous seasons, Ryan Minette.
RyanMinette.com.
From RyanMinette.com. He is a massive Ghostbusters fan.
Really?
He, in fact, had a white car here for a while, and his license plate was Ecto-1, I think, or something like that,
correct,
or Ecto-2. Because that was the Ecto.
Feels like the right vibe.
Was the name of the
right.
Their other
he also
car.
Had a Jeep at one point that had a Jurassic Park.
He just loves movies.
Sounds he had a red truck.
Red truck.
Not a Jeep.
He had a red truck.
Ryan, I'm sorry. I'm getting all this wrong.
Wow. Hopefully he's listening. He's going to listen, and he's going to correct all these facts.
That is absolutely accurate.
We are probably messing up some.
Write it in the reviews, Ryan.
please don't write it in the reviews.
No, please. Only 5-star reviews.
But he gave me some more information because I was just telling him we were doing Ghostbusters, and it made me think of him. And he's like, "Oh, did you know this, this, and this?"
Oh,
tell us.
Very nice.
Well, I'll tell you right now. He told me that there's a new Ghostbusters movie coming out.
There
in about
is.
3 weeks.
Paul Rudd.
With Paul Rudd is in it. And
Finn Wolf gang.
Something like that.
The guy from Stranger Things.
That's the one. It's directed by a guy named Jason Reitman, who is the son of Ivan Reitman.
What?
Jason Reitman also directed Juno.
Great movie.
And Bad Teacher.
Great movie.
Really good movie.
I haven't seen that one.
That's one of Cameron Diaz.
So then he grew up on the set of watching his dad direct the Ghostbuster movies. And so he was like very, very familiar and wanted to like help resurrect the franchise. So this is totally separate from the
Ghostbusters.
The Paul Feig.
Paul
Feig kind of reboot. This is like part of the original storyline.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
So is the Ghostbusters women's edition a part of that storyline?
No, I think that is like a separate storyline. I don't think it's all built universe. In. Yeah, like a separate Ghostbuster universe.
I don't really.
Is it a multiverse?
Ooh.
It could be.
It could be.
We're really digging into the plot.
But he said that the new Ghostbusters that Jason Reitman is working on has been getting good reviews, and he's very excited about it. So we're also excited about it.
Yes, we are.
And he also told me that they modeled Slimer, so you know the green,
right, the gross one,
yeah, was modeled after John Belushi as like an homage to him, which I'm not sure that's a really good homage. So
if someone if I had passed away and someone said, hey, I'm doing an homage to you in this movie, and it was that thing,
actually, if you don't mind, no thank you, I'll take a pass.
I'd be very offended.
Maybe it was like his shtick though, to like eat a lot and be snotty.
You know, I have heard that about him.
But is that what you'd be remembered as?
Yes.
A snobby shtick.
Snotty. Boogers everywhere.
Yeah, so, honestly.
But yeah, those are some of the facts that he gave me. So I was like, those are great facts. Thanks, Ryan. Facts. RyanMinette.com for all your audio needs. And also, thanks to our sponsors. Alex Thompson's Tropical Fish Emporium.
That's right.
And then Johnny Collier's what?
His band, Write This Down.
Yeah, Write This Down. Write This Down. And then maybe give him a couple streams.
We have a lot of audio friends.
Wow.
At least three.
We're very blessed. We're able to do this podcast, and we love all of our audio friends.
That's true. And thank you to all our sponsors. And thank you for joining us for this episode of The Movie Band.
We
have
to do
one last thing, Colleen.
It's our ratings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we let Kit go first? This was her first experience with Ghostbusters. Ooh. And Kit, we didn't talk about this, but your summary of what you thought the movie was about was not...
Wasn't totally off.
No, you had a lot of points that stuck.
I would say maybe not the actual facts that they live with their moms, but just who you would think would live with their moms.
You're right.
Was pretty consistent.
You said hooligans. You said ghosts released in the city. You knew that part.
Got that part.
So yeah, I was decent.
I was feeling really good about it.
You did a great job.
All right, well, Kit, what's your rating? What are you going to give this movie? And at the end, would you recommend this to a friend?
And then after that, we'll rate on Kit.
We'll rate
the podcast.
Very good. I would like to get your feedback.
Audience as well. We'll do live feedback. We'll kind of do some hits and misses before we cut here. It'd be great.
Okay, perfect. I'm going to give this movie 7 sexy possessions out of 10.
Sexy possessions. That's great.
Okay.
I would say, you know,
you overlooked some things.
I gave the faux pas.
I gave the
80s a pass.
Still don't love Bill Murray.
We're not there. I like Bill Murray. His character was redeemed when he wouldn't have sex
with the
possessed lady.
What a stand-up guy.
What a guy.
That one line, and he's like, sounds like there's already more than...
Oh, that was a good line.
That was very funny.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
I will say the quick-witted sex humor really got me.
Yeah, very funny.
Got you good. So 7 out of 10 sexy possessions.
Yep.
Yeah.
Colleen?
I'm going to go 5 out of 6 demon dogs.
Ooh.
Very good.
Very good.
Yes.
I'm going to go 280 out of 300 million 80s movie ghost dollars.
Wow, ghost dollars.
Yeah. Very good.
Wait, 280 out of 300 million. That's a good score.
Yeah.
That's very good.
280 million out of 300 million. 80s movie ghost dollars.
That's fantastic.
So I would say it's a great movie. I would recommend it to a friend. I would say prepare yourself for some very poor special effects.
Very
by
poor.
Today's standards.
Very poor.
I did learn, like, because they had to do it so quickly, it's like they went with the first take on a lot of stuff and just kind of slipped in like some really budget special effects. They even, at one point when they were electrocuting Slimer, or using the proton packs on Slimer, it was a spray painted green peanut. That they, because they just couldn't figure out how to get the effects right, so they just like kind of shoestringed a lot of it. So I was, we were watching it last night, and I was like, "Oh, that's some rough Photoshop work." Yes, it is.
It was a peanut.
It was a peanut. Oh, so there you go.
That's a good fact.
So go watch Ghostbusters. I would recommend it.
Yeah, you should do it.
Would you recommend it, Kit?
I would recommend it to a friend who wasn't easily offended.
Okay.
Kit does not have many of those.
No, it doesn't sound like it. So Kit's not going to tell many people that she watched Ghostbusters. Absolutely not. They would cancel her.
And then Kit, how would you rate being on our podcast today?
Oh, 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Ooh. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Colleen, would you recommend this movie?
Yes, I would recommend this movie.
Everybody?
I think it's such a big part of movie culture. I think everyone should see it at least once.
I agree. That's great. Now, Kit, to your feedback.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us, Movie Man. We'll see you next
Review,
time.
Review, rate, and subscribe.
Bye.
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 Ghostbusters.
Ghost Smashers.
Ma Rooney.